morning, everyone. So let's ever do NASCAR there in Detroit?
No.
You never did?
No.
Well, the race is next year at Daytona, at the Daytona International Speedway. You know, they have a pre-race car that comes out. You know,
right. The pace car.
Right. One of the pre-race high-tech demo cars, not a pace car, really, will not be amazing for its supercharged engine or even its ability to drive hundreds of miles on maybe a fuel of plant fumes. As exciting as those developments might be, the most amazing demo car next year just might be the first fully capable vehicle, drivable and potentially licensable, with a blind person in the driver's seat. Virginia Tech has teamed up with the National Federation of the Blind to build a car specifically designed to be driven safely by people without sight. It's a huge technological and social milestone, and here to talk about it is Mark Riccobono, who's the executive director of the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
So, Mark, how important is this, and technologically, how is it accomplished?
Well, this is important for many reasons. It's very much like our going to the moon. And, of course, that, for the United States, had tremendous impact. All around us are the technologies that we use to go to the moon. And, of course, the United States changed its attitude about the possibilities for us as a country and us as potential of humans. That is true of the National Federation of the Blind Driver Challenge. What we're trying to do with Virginia Tech is build an interface that will allow a blind person to make driving decisions and navigate a car independently. And we're still learning about what that interface will be, but we're building interface technologies that have never been built before. Right now we have a couple of systems. One is a set of gloves that provides information about the road, the angle at which you're turning, the how you are in position to the lane that you're driving in, and we also are developing a dynamic sort of display. Think of it as a sort of flat display that you could get tactile information about the information in the road ahead of you.
And part of that tactile information will have to be transmitted via the steering wheel and other sort of devices that you're going to be touching to move the car. We know that the brain is really, really good translating sensory information from sort of one dimension to another. But how much information do you need to cross the threshold where it would be safe for drivers to drive with other drivers? I mean, testing a car at Daytona International Speedway with no other cars on the track is one thing. Going on, I-95 is something else.
Well, you know, the truth is we don't know. Unless we test the possibilities, unless we start from a place where we believe, first of all, that the people we're dealing with have capacity, which most people would say a blind person driving a car, never, could never happen because they don't have the capacity to do so. The same attitude that when I walk down the street with my son, I'm a blind person, when I walk down the street with my three-year-old son who's sighted, you know, some people say it now and then, well, isn't it great that he takes care of you? Well, it's that same attitude that a blind person needs a three-year-old to take care of them that no one could ever drive. So we start from the premise that blind people have capacity. Now we're going to test the limits.
Well, let's talk about that. Certainly in the United States, being able to drive is a huge dimension of your personal independence. And it wasn't so long ago that quadriplegics couldn't drive, people without the use of arms and legs. And now there are interfaces that allow people to drive just with the tongue inputs or blow inputs or even just with the eye movements to licensably, safely drive a car. What are the thresholds for blind people?
Yeah, and that's what we don't know. We're going to learn that, and what's great is we're going to create all sorts of cool technologies along the way. The technologies that a blind person will need to interface in a car to drive safely will have impact in classrooms for blind kids.
But Mark, we're also going to learn something. We're also going to learn something a little scary, and that is how much should we permit blind people, regardless of the interface, to be able to fail? I mean, sighted people have accidents all the time. They're still licensable. They get back out on the road. We're going to have to learn what that is for blind folks as well, right?
Absolutely. But the opportunity to fail is really part of what we're looking for here, because the responsibilities, the exciting things in life, all of them have an element of failure in them.
Well,
70% of the blind are unemployed, and employment has some risk to it.
Well, you know, let me ask you, do we know how quickly the brain would be able to respond to a direction from the car and then turn that into an action in terms of the hands turning the wheel? How fast would that be?
Well, I'll put it this way. I'm not sure that information that comes through the eye is processed faster in the brain than information that comes through in the hand. And again, this is not the car telling the blind person, turn right. This is providing the blind person information that people typically get through their eyes, but through a different method. Why the brain would process it slower coming from another sense than another, I don't believe that that's true, but we're going to test those limits.
Oh, Mark Riccobono, here's a question for you. Let's say someone gets into an accident who's blind, and the defendant in that case says, well, you were blind. There's a huge liability. I'm going to sue the makers of the technology because it's insane to have blind people on the road. How do you restrict the liability so that it doesn't unfairly burden people who are blind versus anyone else who gets into an accident?
Well, this technology is not going to be on the road tomorrow. We're going to test it and make sure that it has reliability in it. But it's the person. It's not the technology. And it's the capability of the people. And that will be the same as any driver, and it's not the technology that will we'll have to get it to the point where it's not the technology that's at fault, but the people.
It's about people, and the freedom to fail is really the essential freedom here, Mark Riccobono. That's a fantastic takeaway. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mark Riccobono, Executive Director, National Federation of the Blind, the Jernigan Institute, is not taken care of by his young son, if you see him on the street there, and is behind this initiative to create a car and an interface that will allow blind people to drive.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.